Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, this next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom, and we're going to be talking about what's going on financially in the world today. And certainly, as we look and see what's happening to our major automotive companies, why, they're all in trouble. Even Toyota is not the selling the cars that it has been in the past. And certainly, they're all cutting back. The big three, General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, Toyota, cutting back on production from about 18.5 million cars a year back to 14.5 million cars a year. But even then, they're having difficulty actually selling them. And certainly, General Motors and Ford and Chrysler, as far as their American operations, are facing bankruptcy. And within a few years, why, they may very well be in real trouble. Now, you have to understand that General Motors and Ford are moving their operations overseas. And they're moving into Malaysia, they're moving into Mexico, they're moving into China. General Motors is one of the largest car manufacturers there. General Motors has strong ties into some of the Korean manufacturers. But what they're going to do is move their production offshore and leave our workers here without jobs. And I'm not saying that the unions here haven't brought some of this on, but this whole idea really is globalism. It's transferring the wealth of our country to other countries. Here in the United States, many of our banks are just frankly insolvent because they bought these collateralized debt obligations and these asset-backed securities and these collateralized debt obligations and all of these various monetary increments, SIVs, securities investment vehicles, and there's simply nothing behind them. So many of the debts are going bad. People can't make their payments on their cars or their trucks or their SUVs. And then, of course, all of these debts have been bundled and they've been bought by banks. And then they're having a hard time foreclosing on them when people do not meet their obligations. And there are parts of the country where there have been large housing developments gone in that are simply turning into ghost towns. And they're trying to rent out some of the houses, but people aren't renting them. There are all sorts of very, very real problems in our country today. And certainly talking about really what's going on, what's happening to the housing industry. So much of our manufacturing is not doing well. We have a real problem in America. And faced with that, and the face with the nation with the largest debt in all recorded history, our dollar goes up. The price of oil, which was manipulated up, is being manipulated down. I think probably trying to keep things in line up until the time of the election. And then after the election, heaven only knows what's going to happen. Suddenly everything has been done to block the development of our normal energy resources here, the oil, the natural gas, the other things, which we have in abundant supply, although they're trying to convince us that they just don't exist, but they do. And what they're doing is in the process of transferring the wealth of our country to other countries. That's one reason why they've got the price of oil up. This is one reason why they will not let us develop our own oil and natural gas resources. It's so we'll have to buy from other countries and then transfer our wealth. We're talking about somewhere between $400 and $600 billion every year we transfer to other countries, because we're not allowed to develop our own resources. Melody, how are you tonight?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Well, tell us what your take is on what's going on.
Well, what we've seen in the past couple of weeks is, you're absolutely correct, a major manipulation and changes, a distraction to cover everything and to the degree of everything and the quickness of which things are coming to pass. I believe we've been teetering on the brink. We have been. And with all the problems in which you mentioned, I believe the strength in the dollar has been done mainly by governments and central banks voicing opinions on...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Go right ahead, Melody.
We've seen the dollar strengthen and the euro fall basically based on very obvious manipulations. I believe we were teetering on the bank, and I believe it was a concentrated and a coordinated effort of central banks to keep things in line because we were just that close to actually falling into the brink. So I think things are severe out there. Things have not improved. They've only gotten worse. Banks continue to be exposed to the risks of the loans, the subprime, and now we're going into the, we have the subprime losses, we have the Alt-A losses, now the prime loaners, the prime mortgages, and now they're beginning to fault on their homes, so it's continuing, as you mentioned, and things are becoming progressively worse very quickly.
Well, I think it's important that our listeners really understand how this whole system works. There are three types of home loans. One is subprime. In other words, these are people who couldn't afford to buy a house and were encouraged to buy houses, and sometimes they get them for nothing down and very low interest rates, certainly adjustable rate mortgages, or sometimes people even are getting paid to buy a house that they couldn't afford. And then you had something called the Alt-A loans. And the Alt-A loans were the people who were somewhere between subprime and prime. Prime loans are loans to people who really have a fair amount of money. They're able to put a substantial down payment on the house. And they shouldn't have any trouble at all making their monthly payments. So Alt-A were sort of in between. Well, a lot of the subprimes are suddenly going down. But with the subprime loans going down, of course, the value of buildings, the value of homes is falling. Well, then, of course, what happens is you've got your people with the Alt-A loans. Their people are making a fairly steady income. They could afford to buy the house if they just were saving their money and they had enough money to put down on it. But they didn't put down a lot of money on it. And suddenly they find themselves in houses that are worth less on the open market than the mortgage they're paying on. So some of the Alt-A loans are going down. But down the line, of course, and I was reading about this in the New York Times, it sounded just like Bob Chapman, the triple A or the A prime loans, the prime loans are going to go down. Why? Because as the value of the property continues falling 5, 10, 20, 30%, here again you have people who are paying out a loan that's worth far more than the value of their home, and a lot of these people are going to walk away as long as the value of the homes keeps dropping. Why? This housing crisis is going to continue. It's going to be many years. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, we're talking with Melody Cederstrom about the housing industry. The housing industry has got a long way to go. Homes are going to lose a lot more value because they've gone up far too much. I can remember the home that I lived in. My folks paid about $3,000 for it during the Depression. That home's probably worth, $150,000 today, maybe more than that. It's up in Oakland, but certainly it is not that the house is any more valuable than it was. It is simply the value of our currency has fallen. And then, of course, you had this manipulated housing boom, manipulated by the Federal Reserve, manipulated by the government, that was encouraged people to buy homes that they couldn't afford. And, of course, this is the end result. Of course, this was about, I believe it was done intentionally in an effort to disrupt our economy and eventually to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. Well, what do you hear from your customers out there? Because I know you'd be talking to a lot of people who are really buying and selling across the country. And, of course, the people you're talking to, Melody, are people who are fairly knowledgeable. Or they would not be talking to you because you sell gold and silver.
That's correct. They are knowledgeable, and they are concerned. And I think I mentioned it before in this program, when gold corrected or consolidated at one point or time in its bull run in the past several years, in the beginning people would call concerned because it fell back. Now people are calling and they're actually continuing to improve their portfolios by purchasing more gold and silver at these buying opportunities. And folks, I mean, that's how you have to look at it. It is about, they gave you another day in which you could manage your affairs. As I see gold approach 1,000 and knowing that it's going to go to 1,100, 1,200 and higher, I only imagine what is happening. to the financial markets when we're at that level. When we have gold at 1,200, what is going to be happening here and around the world? And so when I see it pull back, when I see the manipulation to which they hit it and gold falls back, I'm thankful because I know we have another day that we can get our things in order, and it gives us another day to prepare. So I guess all things happen for a reason, so people really should take advantage and take a look at their financial affairs, get it in order, and because we were given another day.
Well, you know, it was very interesting. This week I got a call from a gentleman, and he wanted me to call him back as soon as I got the slip. Some hours later, I called him back, and he had wanted to talk to me because he was concerned that the price of gold and silver was going down. He had bought quite a bit of it, and he said, "See, I'm losing money. I'm losing money every day." And I said, "Ernie, you're not losing money every day. They're playing games with your minds." He said, "Well, I sold it out today. I just couldn't stand to lose any more money." And, of course, the thing is, he'd bought it lower. He'd actually, of course, done quite well. And then, of course, now the gold and silver are falling. He thinks he's losing money, and he doesn't understand that you don't go into this, you know, and you worry because it goes down one day. Either it's a good investment or it's not. If you believe, as I do, that every fiat money system in all recorded history has collapsed, you don't certainly panic because the price of gold and silver are falling on one specific day. You certainly wait and see what's going to happen, and you have to be able to wait this out. But they play games with our minds. They manipulate our minds. They plant articles in the media. They'll have planted articles in television and radio. And for the people who are going to react emotionally, why, of course, this is the worst thing that they can do is watch the paper every day to see what's happening to the prices, because they do manipulate us. They know how to manipulate us. And I fear that at least some people are very ill-advised in their selling at this point as the price is dropping. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I didn't receive too many of those calls, but one in particular had the same emotional response, that all you could see was his money losing. And, of course, there was one day where the financials went up substantially, and, you know, the next day, you know, we're up with gold up and, you know, the financials are down. So, and it's difficult to understand the fundamentals that drive the rising price in gold and the decline of the dollar. People can oftentimes repeat what's going on, and perhaps in their heart they understand what's going on, but yet they can't see the big picture. They just look at the smaller picture and feel that they're losing. And the way I try to advise all my clients is you purchase gold for the insurance policy. It's something that you put away. You can't track it from day to day. You're not going to trade it like you do a stock. If you want to gamble and you want to play in a rigged market, then you want to use disposable income to do that and go play the stock market just like you would go and play Las Vegas. But gold is not a trading vehicle. You buy it and you put it away. It's the savings account. And that's how you have to view gold. It is a savings account. It's a currency. It's the insurance policy. It's a hedge against inflation. Profits will be there. But we're going to have some major swings to the upside and downside as we go along this path, because you have to truly look at how interconnected we are globally, and how everything is so intertwined and tangled, and they will be able to make big moves in the dollar. But the fundamentals under, you have to have a strong economy in order to have a strong currency. And just because Paulson is out there and Bernanke is out there and Bush is out there saying, "Oh, our economy is strong and we have a great economy, our financial markets are strong, we have no problems, we're weathering the housing market fine," you can't believe that, because it isn't, because there isn't anything that has changed, and things just are continuing to erode here in this country and around the world. Now you got European economies that are contracting, so now, you know, they're going to be going into their protectionist mode, and again, it's all manipulations just to keep things afloat until they're ready for it to collapse. Because we can't ever forget that this is just all planned. It's an agenda.
And I agree with you totally. And I think that for our listeners out there who are skeptical of what Melody is saying, if you have access to a computer, go up and Google in the Working Group on Financial Markets. The Working Group on Financial Markets, we call them the Plunge Protection Team. They're a committee, and I think that Paulson is in charge of that, the president, and it involves the people from the Federal Reserve and the Treasury and certain other financial institutions. I think there are four major members of that, and they simply manipulate the stock market. They manipulate commodities. They are authorized by the government to manipulate the market, because if you know if the market's going to go up and down tomorrow, you can make a fortune. And don't believe that some of these people aren't doing exactly that. But they're manipulating the market, that they manipulate the price of gold, they manipulate, and they work in conjunction with Goldman Sachs. Now remember, of course, that Henry Paulson came from Goldman Sachs, and Goldman Sachs is one of the major players in this market, and it has a lot of short contracts on gold that it doesn't own, and a lot.
someone that's armed that can return fire. These perpetrators are not as brave as they would like everybody to think they are. They are only brave when everybody else is unarmed. But in a lot of these situations, as soon as fire is returned, they either run or they finish themselves off. And if there is not someone there to stop this, the shooting just goes on and on. We can liken this, like you mentioned, this church. Same thing kind of happened in Colorado Springs.
Right.
Not too long ago. And there was a woman in the church, just a regular citizen that had, she was a member of the church and licensed to carry by the state of Colorado to carry a personal firearm. And she used her own gun to stop the attacker from entering a very populated area of the church. She's hailed as a hero in her community today. I believe the young man went ahead and committed suicide, but she did stop him from creating any further death inside that church.
And I think these things are important. Unfortunately, we have people who have, it seems like, this intent to kill. We have evil in our society. We have to be able to protect ourselves. And to disarm the populace is simply makes every school or every church simply a shooting gallery. And, of course, people should have the right to defend themselves as long as they act responsibly. If they act irresponsibly, they're guilty for their crimes as well. But, of course, guns certainly can not only do harm, they can do good. And there are a lot more lives that are saved by guns than are lost by guns. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Valinda, are you working with some of the gun groups dealing with the right of people to keep and bear arms? What is your function at the present time?
Well, right now I am the spokesperson for IllinoisCarry.com and trying to help get the word out about what we're trying to do in the state of Illinois. I like coming on programs like yours and helping get the word out to other people and encourage them to contact their state legislators and demand that their right to keep and bear arms be honored and respected. And we just finished a project here in Illinois. IllinoisCarry.com and the Illinois State Rifle Association held the first ever Second Amendment Freedom Rally in downtown Chicago. And that was quite an event. We were celebrating the recent Supreme Court ruling on the Heller case, which was the Second Amendment case against the city of Washington, D.C.
Well, why don't you see, the thing is that they have isolated us fairly well. I keep up a track of what's going on across the country, and I've never even heard about this rally. How many people did you have at your rally?
Well, we had anywhere from 800 to 1,000 folks attended.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I mean, it was. It was a little bit frustrating in that the media, which is very anti-gun, reported that we had dozens.
Right.
You know, we had dozens show up at our rally when actually, you know, we had a plaza that was full of people. And the turnout was men and women, young and old, every ethnic and race background that you could think of. And it was peaceful. It was celebratory. We were all excited in celebrating, you know, the United States Supreme Court recognizing that the rights enumerated in the Second Amendment, the people, that those rights were an individual right regardless of any connection with military or militia or police force.
And for our listeners out there who don't remember what this was about, of course they've had very strict gun control laws in Washington, D.C., where the people just were not allowed to have any sort of guns, either in their home or certainly to carry them at all. And it was certainly because of this why Washington, D.C. has been for many years one of the murder capitals of the entire, not only the entire nation, but the entire world. And so simply a large black population that are totally helpless, you know, and no means to defend themselves. And many of the black leaders wanted the people to have the right to keep and bear arms. And eventually, of course, the Supreme Court was... A case was filed, and the Supreme Court held, and I think it was a very important decision, that the people had the right, according to the Second Amendment, to have weapons. Of course, the people who control the government there in the city of Washington, D.C. are doing everything they can to block the implementation of the laws, but the law is there, the principle is there, and I think this was an exciting decision, don't you?
Oh, yes. And it has already had a huge impact in the state of Illinois, even though this case was specific to Washington, D.C. The ruling affirmed, you know, what we have known all along, and that is the right of the people enumerated in the Second Amendment is a guaranteed individual right. And it makes it clear that individuals have the right to keep and bear firearms. Now, in this particular case, it was in their homes for self-defense. And while the Heller case addressed the handgun ban in the District of Columbia, we believe that the ruling is going to have a tremendous effect on handgun bans in cities throughout the entire country. And that's already been evidenced in the state of Illinois. I get really excited about it because we have cities such as Wilmette, Illinois.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Valinda. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess just Valinda Rover basically talking about the right of the people to keep and bear arms and the importance of it. Our ability to defend ourselves. There are those people that like to create chaos in our country. And, of course, they want to ban guns. Well, of course, you can ban guns as far as the law-abiding citizens is concerned, but there's nothing you can do about the criminal. Our founding fathers wanted the people to be able to defend themselves because they knew there weren't enough police out there. And so people, of course, you know, in the primitive America, they've had the right to keep and bear arms, protect themselves from scoundrels and protect themselves from criminals, but also to protect themselves from government. What people do not understand, there really are wicked people out there who would love to have a genocide in America here. They want to take away the right of the people to keep and bear arms so that they cannot defend themselves not only from criminals, but also from government and, of course, from genocidal programs. It's hard to realize, but of course we live in an evil world with evil people in it, and some of them are working at the highest levels of our government, and some of them are working in our Congress, and some of them are working in our Senate, and some of them are certainly government officials, and they're part of a movement to try to disarm the people, and believe me, wherever the people are disarmed, why eventually it comes the genocide. So certainly in Illinois, why, of course, apparently there's been increasing right to some of the cases that come up following. Was that the Kelso decision? Was that what they called it in Washington, D.C., where they felt the Supreme Court held that the people had a right to have weapons?
Well, it was the Heller case.
The Heller, okay.
Yes, it was Mr. Dick Heller.
Okay.
One of the premier people that brought the suit against the city of Washington, D.C., and I believe he has already filed his second suit because Washington, D.C. is not following the mandate of the Supreme Court with their ruling, and he has already filed a second suit to get Washington, D.C. to come into compliance with the ruling that the United States Supreme Court made. Now, what's happening in the state of Illinois, which is really exciting, and I know this is going to happen probably across the country in other places where there are extreme handgun bans, but Morton Grove, Illinois, which was the very first municipality to pass a handgun ban in the nation. It was the first one. Several weeks ago, they repealed their handgun ban in light of the Supreme Court ruling. And the city of Wilmette has followed, and then just this last Monday, this very week, the city of Evanston, repeal their handgun ban against handgun ownership in their city. So we're seeing progress made. But this ruling, I think, is just a first step because we've defined who the right belongs to. You know, the people is an individual right. But I think we're moving into a new era now where we're going to need to define the very important words in the Second Amendment, shall not be infringed.
Well, there really have always been people, and this is simply as old as time, that would rule the lives of other people. And, of course, certainly at one time, the major means of protection was the sword. And so they restricted the right of the people to have a sword. And of course, here in America, why, you know, originally people could have guns. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But there are always people, of course, looking for a vehicle by which they can restrict the people the right to keep and bear arms, people like one of our senators here, Feinstein, here in California, when, of course, she was the mayor of San Francisco, she wanted to have a gun because she wanted to protect herself. And yet, of course, the United States senator, she's done everything to fight the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Why? Because she has people to protect herself, professional guards, but, of course, she doesn't want us to be able to protect ourselves. And this is all part of the move, really, to enslave our people. People have to be able to have weapons to protect themselves, especially in an increasingly violent society that we live in. Certainly, I wish it were as it is. I wish that we didn't have a violent society, but we do. And the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. And for that very reason, Dianne Feinstein should have been thrown out of office a long time ago. But unfortunately, there's no coordinated effort to let the American people realize that there really are some very evil and wicked people out there who want to disarm the populace so that they can be first enslaved and, I fear, later on slaughtered. They're people who have a different world view. The one thing about America is we have a constitution, and the constitution limits the power of the government over the lives of the people so people could be free. And, of course, the First Amendment said Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, nor abridging the right of freedom of speech or freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, or the right of the people to assemble and redress of the grievances. There are people who don't like that. They want everything to be regulated by the ruling elite. Well, it's time we took America back. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. How do you feel about gun control and gun confiscation by government? Well, I guess there's Valinda Rowe. Valinda, you have a pretty active group there in Illinois that you're working with?
Yes, we do. We've got several very active groups. The IllinoisCarry.com. As I mentioned earlier, is an online discussion and action forum. We keep up with what's going on in our state legislature. We keep up with different judicial things that are going on in our state and around the country. And we send out what we call firearm alerts or action alerts when phone calls need to be made or people need to show up at meetings, in town halls, at city halls, county board meetings, state legislature, and we work very closely with the Illinois State Rifle Association, which is our state association, and they have a huge membership, and we all work together in trying to bring our people, our members, and gun owners in the state to a level of activity where we cannot be ignored. You mentioned, you've got Ms. Feinstein and so forth there in California. We have our anti-gun legislators here in this state. And, you mentioned how important it is that we be active in voting these people out of office that will not support our constitutional rights. And so that's what we work on here at Illinois Carry and through our state and national organizations.
Well, how about the newspapers? They're going to give you a fair shake, or the newspapers are going to demonize you and make you look sort of a radical because you think people should be what? Well, I can tell by your laughter that you have the same problem we have.
Yes, we have the same problem here. I mentioned our rally in Chicago where we had 800 to 1,000 people in attendance there in that rally, and one of the papers reported that we had dozens of gun owners showed up at this rally. Anything to minimize our efforts. There at the rally, it was at the Thompson Center, which is right downtown Chicago, right on the plaza outside of our governor's Chicago office. And right across the street was the City Hall, which houses the offices of Chicago's Mayor Daley. And when we got there for the rally, there was a whole bank of media. All the major media outlets were there. And we were so excited that we were finally going to get some fair coverage. And at the end of the day, only one or two of them even mentioned, even slightly, that we had been there and what we had tried to do.
Well, because, you know, it may not be at all the reporters. It's usually the editors that get
right.
the story.
Right.
But they are employed not to reveal, but to conceal the truth from the people, because we have a controlled media in America, and it's about time people begin to realize what's really happening. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, is, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have any thoughts on gun control, because, of course, in a free society, the people have the right to keep and bear arms. That's what our founding fathers want, because they realized that a people who could bear arms could be free. A people who could not bear arms, of course, would soon become enslaved. Well, Linda, do you have a website or anything, information you'd like to get out about the work that you're doing there?
Well, I invite folks to stop in at IllinoisCarry.com. It's Illinois Carry, all one word, IllinoisCarry.com. And stop in there, join the conversation, join in the action, and just make yourselves at home. And I just, you know, really want to encourage people, like you were saying out there in California, that there's no concerted effort, you know, to vote certain people out of office. And that's something that we want to change in the state of Illinois. We have some legislators that I feel are anti-American. They're anti-Second Amendment, they take an oath to support the Constitution of the United States and our state constitution, and they don't fulfill that oath. And I think it's time for them to be voted out, and we want to be active in taking a part in seeing that happens.
Well, I certainly agree. Actually, basically here in California, we have the Gun Owners of America, headed by Bill Richardson, and they, of course, have a national branch back in Washington, D.C. with Larry Pratt. So we certainly have put Larry on not infrequently.
Yes.
Really keeps, I don't know if you know Larry, but he certainly keeps us abreast of what's happening. And the effort by the fascist element within our society, and of course there is a fascist element within our society, who wants to disarm the people and put all power in government. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and I would simply remind our listeners that liberty never close thine eyes in slumber, for thine enemies never sleep. Liberty never close thine eyes in slumber, for thine enemies never sleep. There really are people, as illogical as it may seem, who wanted dictatorship in America. But people didn't understand that this desire for power is inherent in people, and there have always been people who wanted to control the lives of others. And unfortunately, while they're alive and well, working at the highest levels of our society, and they would like to replace our form of government with a dictatorship in America. Well, right now, of course, we've got a Marie calling, and Marie is calling from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Marie. How you doing?
This is Mario.
Oh, Mario. Okay. Well, Mario, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for the guest. It's my understanding that the Second Amendment says the need for a well-armed militia being understood, the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed.
All right, fine. And so that's exactly what it does. So how do you interpret that?
Well, my question specifically is, what exactly was a well-armed militia?
All right, fine. I think that's an excellent question. Valinda, would you like to answer Mario's question?
Well, the militia at the time that the Constitution was written was the everyday people. It was the everyday man. And they would be called to whatever service was needed at the time, and they would bring their own firearms and their own ammunition to whatever effort was needing attention at the time.
Can I ask something specific about that?
You certainly can. I think this, it's so important to understand that every citizen, I think it was something between 15 and 55, was a member of the militia. You can probably correct me on that, Belinda, but it was understood that every able-bodied man was a member of the militia when this country was founded. They changed the meaning because, of course, they wanted to disarm the people. But if you have a question, go ahead.
Yes, it's my understanding, but my fairly uninformed understanding, that at that time the militia was responsible not only for fighting a war in case there was a war, but for carrying out the mandates of a court. And if the court gave an order that some suspect of a crime be apprehended, wasn't the militia called upon to a group of guys with guns would go and apprehend the suspects and bring them to court? Rather than a police force, per se, I mean, wasn't it the citizenry themselves who would carry that out?
Well, you know, back in that day, now I've not heard of any specific cases concerning that, but back in that day, you know, there were no set police forces like we have today. There were no standing armies like we have today. So I'm sure that, you know, that's very possible that that was the case.
Well, you heard of rounding up the posse, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure if that was particularly a Texas thing or if that was a New England thing. But in my understanding, the posse, so to speak, was, I don't suppose that it was every able-bodied man or woman, but you would be registered as a sheriff's deputy or something, and if you were needed, you would be called upon, but you're just an ordinary workaday citizen. Isn't that right?
Well, I think, first of all, we should clarify the issue, and Valinda, I want you to comment here. But I think that, first of all, you have to understand that the founders of this country did not want an organized or standing army, because standing armies in Europe, where all of our founding fathers, or so many of our founding fathers had come from, and their families had come from, standing armies were used by the tyrant, by the ruler, to suppress the people. So they did not want a standing army. They recognized you had to have a navy, because, I mean, you couldn't just create a navy overnight. Whereas here in the United States, you would not have a standing army. You'd have a few officers. And then, of course, there was the problem why, of course, you would call up the militia. Everybody belonged to the militia. And as far as the posse was concerned, it was that there was a criminal activity. The sheriffs did not have a large component of officers. Then they would, of course, call a posse, and they would, of course, you'd come, and not everybody belonged to the posse. You'd volunteer for the posse, or you were, of course, sworn in, and then, of course, you'd go out and catch the bad guys, and then you'd come back, and you'd go back to your regular job. But you did not have large police forces. You did not have any standing army at all, or hardly any standing army at all, because, of course, our founding fathers feared, you know, an all-powerful police force. They feared an all-powerful military, and they knew it could not only be used against our enemies, it could be used against our own citizens. So the people who created America believed that that government governs best, it governs the least, and they feared the police force, and they feared the military force. Valinda, would you like to comment?
Well, one thing I wanted to add, too, is the terminology of a well-regulated militia. And at that time, a lot of people today want to say well-regulated, as in, you know, laws and restrictions and so forth. But at the time that was written, well-regulated meant well-trained and orderly. It didn't mean what they would try to twist it to mean today, with lots of rules and regulations and restrictions.
Okay, anything else you wanted to say there, Mario?
I believe that sums it up. Thank you.
God bless, and thanks very much for calling. And we need to get this information out. People have to understand how they twisted the meaning of words and phrases. But you can tell what this is all about by going back and reading the Federalist Papers, which were written at the time our Constitution was ratified. These things are never taught in school. The last thing they want is for the American people to realize that our founding fathers feared the power of government, because they knew, of course, that it was government that would take away their freedom, not their neighbor. Thanks very much, Mario. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But this is a subject we don't very often. We haven't covered it on for some time. I'm so glad that one of our listeners, Daniel, who's a good supporter of Radio Liberty and has been for many years, had recommended we get Valinda on, because he really felt that she could articulate these ideas very, very well, and she certainly seems to be able to. Do you think there's a growing awareness in Illinois there of the importance of the people not only having arms, but knowing how to use them and being able to defend themselves and their and their families as we move into an increasing period of chaos and crisis?
Yes, there is a rapidly growing awareness in the state of Illinois. We've had one of those tragic mass shootings in Tinley Park where five women were, defenseless women were murdered in a Saturday morning shopping in a store, and then we had the NIU shootings. And it's things like that that bring the issue home and make us aware that our state government has rendered us defenseless in the face of situations like this, and that we need to get involved in correcting the situation.
Well, you know, because in the past, sometimes when gun issues were brought up in elections, most people, the majority of our people, will vote for pro-gun candidates, and the anti-gun candidates don't do very well. And I think this is a very important issue. Unfortunately, you know, we're looking at a presidential election coming up here where we have, I don't know how McCain feels about the right of the people to have weapons, but certainly Obama, because of his communist background and support for communist objectives, would disarm our people as the communists have always wanted to do here. And incidentally, if anybody wants to challenge what I just said about Obama's communist connections, let me suggest the book by Dr. Jerry Corsi, a frequent guest here, called Obama Nation. That's not Obama Nation, it's Obama Nation. It's number one on the New York Times best-selling list for two successive weeks. It's only been out for 2 weeks. It's about time you understood a little bit about the man who's running for the presidency. Now, this is not to say that I'm supporting John McCain either. I don't know how he feels on guns, but I know in so many things he's equally bad. They give us a choice of two terrible candidates. Which one do you want? And I think it's about time we put on the ballot none of the above. Go right ahead, Valinda. What are your thoughts?
Well, one of the things that that you mentioned, bringing up Senator Obama, he is from Illinois.
I know he is. How did you ever get him as a senator?
Well, I don't know, but it's not been good. It's not been good. From my understanding is that he is totally against any kind of concealed carry for anyone, anywhere, and it is my understanding that he would ban all semi-automatic firearms, including handguns, rifles, and shotguns, if he had that opportunity. He would reinstitute the assault weapons ban that sunsetted back here a few years ago, and he is one of the most liberal, most anti-gun legislators we've ever had in our state.
Well, I don't like to call him liberal, because liberal really is has taken on a bad connotation.
Well,
one time
that's
a liberal
true.
Was a good person. He is a fascist. He wants all power in the state, and that's, of course, what everybody who supports communist activities want. And anybody who touts his communist background, I will simply tell you that I subscribe to the communist publications, both the Worker, the Weekly Worker, and, of course, Political Affairs for, well, the better part of 46 years now. And, of course, a recent issue, the Political Affairs showed Obama there on the front page of you, and with the caption above it, "We're winning." This is the Communist Party's position. We are winning. Now, of course, I'd simply point out that, as you know, those of you who listen to our programs regularly, the communist movement in America is controlled by the same people who control the anti-communist movement. It's all contrived to give us the feeling that we have the two sides. But, of course, what they really want is all power in Washington, D.C., to, of course, disarm our people so they can enslave them. And, unfortunately, this is where Obama is coming from. And if you have any question, you'll certainly want to get the book, and we will be carrying the book, Obama Nation. And we haven't ordered it yet, but it'll certainly be as soon as I get back next week, we will. If you want to put the order in, why? Because we'll give you the regular cost of that. We think it's an important book, and if you ask for it, we'll get you a copy of my interview with Dr. Jerome Corsi, who was an excellent interview we did today, on the man who would be president of the United States. And believe me, I'm not supporting John McCain. I think that we were given a choice of two bad candidates, and it's not who's the best candidate, it's who's the least worst candidate, and I couldn't support either one of them. Well, certainly, Valinda, Valinda is saying that, of course, there's an increasing active gun group, a pro-right gun group there in Illinois. Do you get any help at all from television or from radio or from any of the newspapers there?
We do on a geographical basis. what we call downstate, the southern part of the state. Most of our legislators support our Second Amendment rights. They are what we would call pro-gun. They vote with us on bills that would increase the rights of gun owners, and they vote against the bills that would restrict gun owners in the state. But when you get into the Metro East area, which is around St. Louis, and then in the northeast section of the state, which is Chicago, Cook County, those are the geographical locations in our state that would strongly, strongly restrict gun ownership. And the media, the legislators, the city, county officials in those areas, there are a few that support us, but not many. But in the rest of the state, we do get a pretty fair shake, you know, in the southern part of the, what we call the southern part of the state. And for most people, that's anything south of Chicago.
Well, of course, the thing is that every state has its own issues. It's so interesting. Of course, several of the problems that you've had, several of the shootings that you've had, we never even heard of because, of course, by the control of the media, they can focus our attention on one shooting and totally ignore a number of other ones. So certainly we have the shootings, so many of them on college campuses or school campuses. Why? Because of the federal legislation that's made every high school in the United States a gun-free shooting zone for anybody who wants to go in there and kill as many of the students as they want, because, of course, there can be no guns, according to the federal government, on campuses. Has that stopped the shooting? No, it's encouraged the shooting. You would think that people would be wise enough to understand what's going on, but, of course, because of the propaganda, because these things are never really mentioned, the average individual has no idea of the hazard our children are when they go to school because of the gun restriction laws that keep even the principal of the school or certainly the counselors in the school from having a weapon to defend the students. And believe me, if the student wanted to go in there and start shooting, knew that he might get shot or wounded or experience terrible pain, he would think twice before he would take a gun on the campus. But since he knows he has nothing to fear, why, of course, every one of our campuses in America, high school campuses, is a shooting gallery. Go right ahead, Belinda.
You know, when I was growing up, going to high school, when it came hunting season, those students that went hunting either right before school or after school, they had their firearms in their vehicle, you know, their shotguns, their rifles, whatever, had their firearms in their vehicle with their ammunition. We never had a school shooting. You know, it's not the firearm that creates that situation.
No, it really is, of course, the school program which destroys belief in God and country and right and wrong and tells our students that there is no right and wrong. You are the determinant of what's right and wrong. And what 15 or 16 or 17-year-old person really knows what's right and wrong when you've taken away God's law and the idea that thou shalt not kill? We couldn't even post that, certainly, on the school wall today. Well, this is Dr. Stan Murray. Why don't you just go ahead. You got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. Well, one thing that I would like to encourage everyone to do, now that we have this ruling from the United States Supreme Court that clarifies our individual right to keep and bear arms, I think this is a new era that's beginning, and I want to strongly encourage everyone in every state across the nation. You know, a lot of the states have good Second Amendment rights. They honor folks' right to keep and bear arms, but we have to keep ever vigilant because there's always individuals out there. There's always people in government that want to strip that right from us. So I would encourage people to watch what's going on in their city council meetings, their county board meetings, their state legislators. Keep a close watch on what's going on out there. Get involved. Help get people elected who will protect our rights and honor our Constitution. And we cannot, one thing we have learned in the state of Illinois is we cannot sit back and wait for someone else to do that for us.
Well, Belinda, do you have a website or anything that you'd like to get out for our listeners?
Yes, IllinoisCarry.com. Stop by and join the discussion and get in on the action.
All right, fine. And, well, I'm glad that you're there. But certainly, my friend Daniel has told me how articulate you were, and he's absolutely right. And I just wish we had more people who could express themselves who felt as deeply as you do. But the right to people to keep and bear arms, the right of American citizens to keep and bear arms, it really has a lot to do with whether we remain a free people or whether we will be simply enslaved by the people who really do want to take away freedom here in America because they have a different worldview. And I think it's so important that we understand the Constitution, we understand the Second Amendment, we understand what the founders of this country really wanted to set up here. We understand that that government governs best, it governs the least. And if people want to be free, we have to restrict government power. People who misuse weapons are responsible for it and should be put in prison. But when you take guns away from law-abiding citizens, why, of course, you allow those people of criminal intent free rein for destruction. Well, parting thought before we let you go, Belinda?
Well, I just want to thank you for having me on the program. You mentioned about the media not getting the word out. That's what makes programs like yours valuable, into getting word out to the people of the country.
Well, I hope you'll tell people about Radio Liberty. They can listen to us 9 hours a day at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We're, of course, on the satellite, the digital satellite. We're, of course, on shortwave. And, well, God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Belinda. And, of course, we have a number of programs on gun rights. We should put a 4-tape set together on this so that you can argue these issues intelligently. And what we do is, of course, we're trying to educate people out across America. Under any circumstances, we hope that many of you go to our website at radioliberty.com, that you'll watch the videos we have there. We have a section on videos. We have a section on other videos. And then we have the places where you, of course, can listen to our radio programs live. You can listen to them certainly on the satellite screen, and we have a satellite feed 9 hours a day for my programs and 9 hours a day for Joyce Riley, that you can actually listen to our programs on shortwave, but certainly at the website of radioliberty.com, you read our newsletters. So we do hope that you'll tell others about our program. And, of course, the fact that we're really involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, and there really are secret societies. There have always been secret societies. And if you've not yet, of course, read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watched the DVD, which you can see for nothing on the Internet, certainly there at radioliberty.com under videos. We do hope that, of course, you'll want to get the DVD and copy it, or get the video and copy it and help us to get the information out. Then, of course, you'll want to get information, certainly the forbidden secret and the secret knowledge, the two talks, and, of course, there's a syllabus that comes with the first one, the forbidden secret. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my talk on the planned police state with the syllabus that comes with that. We actually have some great DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning by Chris Pinto, Riddles in Stone, very professionally done. Both of them have gotten all sorts of awards, and I have a small part in them, not very important. All I do is point out that when America was founded, there were two forces at work. One was the Christian, and the other was the occult. And the occult always intended, of course, to use the military and financial power of the United States to bring about a world government. And, of course, initially, they put their emblem, their sign of their existence, on the back of the Great Seal of the United States, where it remained hidden from 1782 till about 1935, when it was placed on the back of the dollar bill. And you will see it there, the pyramid, capped by the triangle containing an all-seeing eye, which is the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. What were the ancient mystery religions? Well, of course, you need, of course, to read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We take you into that. We explain to you how this all fits together, the continuity of evil that has existed going back to the time of Nimrod and of course, the Tower of Babel, which was actually built in an effort to unite the world under Nimrod. And of course, God intervened at that time, and it caused people to speak different languages, in effect, to Babel. And that's, of course, where the term Babylon came from. But of course, understand that this is today we are actually seeing the fulfillment of that. That's what our talk on the forbidden secret is all about. They are reconstructing the Tower of Babel. They are trying to unite, first of all, Europe, and then North America, and then the entire world, and create a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world ruler. We do hope, of course, you'll want to get the DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You'll want to get the Da Vinci Con, which we think is excellent, Chris Pinto's video that he produced for us called The Atlantis Connection, and Constance Cumby's excellent DVD, The Emergence. That's The Emergence of the Da Vinci Con. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. You'll find all sorts of fascinating information there. And then, of course, your job is to tell other people about our program, to hand out our flyers, to hand out our cards.